This special edition in-depth program on agriculture in Marion County is brought to you in part by Pleasantville State Bank, Verduft Agency, Pleasantville Schools, Midtown Tire, Dandy Farms, Cargill of Eddyville, Iowa Elevator Systems and Service, and Key Cooperative. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you would like to suggest a topic for in-depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Knoxville Manufacturing, Lighton State Bank, American Family Insurance, Starver's Cellular, Don's Heating and Cooling, Proline Building Corporation, Dutch Meadows, and First State Bank. Enjoy the program.
Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's happening in the pork industry? How are hogs raised and marketed? And where does Marion County pork go? Let's go in depth with Kenny and Leanne Suter with Suter Family Farms, Pleasantville. Leanne and Kenny, did you grow up in this area?
I grew up in this house.
In this house? So you grew up in this house and your longtime family farming operation? Yep.
My folks moved here in 1963, I think it is, to this house.
Okay, now you have sons in
there? And now I have sons, and my dad's still around. And my aunt, I have an aunt, which would be my dad's sister, who has farm ground, just borders right now, and we all farm as one family together.
And Leanne, did you grow up around here?
I did. My family has been around here for many generations. My oldest son lives on a century farm south of Pleasantville, where I grew up, the house that built me, and which he lives in now, and my dad and mom before him, and grandparents owned before that. So, a long time history here.
So your family has seen the ups and downs, major changes, revolutions, all kinds of things that have happened in agriculture.
Yes, they have. All of it. Been growing right along with agriculture, our family's.
Changing right along with the agriculture.
Okay, and you call it still now Suter Family Farms.
Yes.
Yes.
And what's your main operation? Are you diversified?
We're completely diversified. We have an operation that runs row crop. We obviously have hogs. We have cattle. We have a few trucks on the road, and we sell a little bit of hay. So I'd say that we're pretty diversified.
And what proportion of your incomes comes from each industry? Can you share that?
Yeah, I'm going to be guessing, but I would imagine the row crops would be 60%, and the hog operation would probably be between 25 and maybe 30%, and the remainder, the cattle and the hay, and would be split up between the remainder. And I would just be guessing, but that'd be close.
Okay, and is it all equally challenging, or is one offer more challenges than the other?
I'm going to say it's all equally challenging. The livestock end has its own challenges. The row crop production end has its own challenges. And then the hay and, you know, the that's, you know, challenging just by weather, if nothing else. So, yeah, I'd say it's all pretty equally challenging on its own level.
And Leanne, Kenny and I walked up here. You were here doing all kinds of paperwork, and there's computers behind you monitoring markets, getting information. Is this the command center of the farm?
This is where I spend most of my time, is in the office, marketing the grain for the farms and the boys, and just working on daily inputs, coordinating the semis, getting them to get the grain delivered every day. Trucks got to be running 2 to 3 trucks a day.
Daily clerical, whether you have to file for the FSA or the NRCS and or find out what programs are available, being CRP coming up with a deadline on the 15th. That if you think you have something CRP-wise, you better get your maps out and see if that's what you want to do, because there's always a deadline.
Yeah.
And so you have to monitor the deadline?
Yes.
And there's probably deadlines you don't even know about.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I stay very busy. back here behind the scenes.
All right, so all of the paperwork, all of the resources that are available, managing teams, and monitoring markets, I presume?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Whether it's selling or hedging in the future, either
yeah.
way. Or selling the crops that you have on hand, or hedging against, say, your nitrogen cost is going to be $740. You want to hedge against that with the future sales on your corn, so you know you got that covered. That sort of thing. And we both work together on most of that.
How do you know how to do that? That all seems so incredibly complex to me. Is it as
computer information, as text information coming in 3 times a day?
Meetings all winter long.
We go to meetings and
we've been to Minnesota.
Read information
several times for meetings.
Yeah.
So you have to keep up with everything?
Yes. And if I find it in a magazine or a colleague tells us about an upcoming event or...
And you hire people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Consultants. We have two agronomists that we talk to daily. Seed corn salesmen that we talk to periodically. We've got marketing consultants that we talk to. So you can't be an expert at everything. So you have to hire somebody to help you along, or you're going to miss deadlines, like you said.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture in Marion County is brought to you in part by Iowa State Savings Bank, ENT Clinic of Iowa, Knoxville Raceway, Meninga Pest Control, Pleasantville Clinic, Pella Feed Service, Iowa State Investment Representative Joe Cunningham, and Lely USA. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you miss in-depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting KNIAKRLS.com and clicking Radio Plus. It's that easy. Just visit KNIAKRLS.com, click Radio Plus, and catch up on in-depth programs that you may have missed. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, Pella Cooperative Electric, Marion County Fair Association, Central College, Knoxville Hy-Vee, Four Seasons Yard Care, Fred's Muffler Shop, and Sunny Slope Greenhouse.
I continued my conversation with Kenny and Leanne Suter about their Suter family farm operation. Years ago, the pork industry took a big dive, but it's now recovering, and I understand that prices are pretty good now for somebody in the pork industry. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Prices are strong right now. Inputs are stronger. The price of corn and soybeans and the logistics to get things from point A to point B, which would be fuel, whether you're bringing feed in or bringing livestock out or whatever, all that stuff is high. So even though that the pork price is high, if you didn't have your inputs hedged at a lower price, you still could be losing money today no matter what the price is. So it's all a competitive edge. You have to make sure that you market your input cost and then cover that input cost with the future sales, just like I said with the corn.
By hedging, you mean buying ahead or selling ahead?
Both, but buying ahead is your hedge, covering your cost for what you think you're going to incur.
So you could buy your gas ahead of time?
And we do.
And you do. And so you think, this is a good price for gas, I'm going to buy it now?
If I bought mine a while back ago, but if I had not bought it yet, after watching whatever was going on the news, I would suggest to somebody maybe locking in a few, even at today's price, a few gallons of fuel.
So you're watching world events?
Oh, yes. You have to.
All the time.
Japan, our friends in Asia are right now in dire straits. What's that going to bring to us as a community? You know, we're going to have to help them because it keeps getting worse every day. So, yeah, you got to watch global events and try to gear up to match what's coming.
It seems to me that some of your operation is seasonal. The row crops, maybe the cattle, seasonal too, I suspect, but not as much as the row crops.
Mm-hmm.
But the pork, is that pretty much continuous or is that seasonal too?
That's on a day-to-day basis.
Day-to-day.
Yeah.
Day-to-day.
Yep.
Every day.
You're always producing. It's not like fall you harvest.
Nope.
365. Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, birthdays, they're there every day.
Yeah.
And they're your responsibility to take care of them.
How many hogs do you have?
We have two buildings, 2,400 per building.
2,400 per building. Mm-hmm. Okay, what's the cycle? How long are they there? What's the process? And then how are they marketed?
You will fill one building twice a year. So it's about a six-month cycle. It could be more, it could be less. It depends on how the hogs finish, whether it's a really, really hot summer. They might be just a little bit slower because it's hard to keep it. The building usually keeps the room temperature inside somewhere around 74 degrees. But when it's really calm and still and super hot, it might go up. Well, the pigs are going to want to lay down and they'll slow down a little bit. So for the most part, it is a two-cycle system per year. Okay. About count on it.
Are all the farms on the same cycle? Is it random? Everybody does?
No, just whatever happens. Everybody's set up on its own.
On its own cycle. It would overwhelm you to have all three.
We have them kind of staggered so that the kids, we're not all dumping all three barns all at the same time. So, they're staggered a little bit. It worked out perfectly that way. It was nothing we planned, but that's just how they were built and when we filled them and just how it's been going.
Yep. So. And it's working great.
Yeah.
And so it works out well for monetary flow. It's not all coming
everything.
In at one
right.
time.
Exactly.
Right. Nothing.
Exactly.
And that was planned? It just worked out that way.
Yeah.
Well, it was not planned, and it will change. Like I say, one barn might be slower than the other barn, and we might receive pigs to fill this barn that might be a little bigger than what you expected. If they'll finish faster, and these pigs might be a little smaller, they'll finish slower. So things will kind of catch up and maybe pass each other at a certain point. But for the most part, we can count on a split at one level or another.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture in Marion County is brought to you in part by Kevin Wadley, CPA, Pella Corporation, Ozinga Feeds, Van Monen Seed and Chemical, Motor Inn of Knoxville, Fast Track Sports, Iowa Realty, and Golf Cars of Iowa. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you would like to suggest a topic for in-depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Marion County Rural Water, Marion County Bank, Pierschbacher Funeral Home, McGriff's Spray Foam, Feaster Seeds District Sales Manager Ryan Schumacher, The Antique Peddler, KO Roofing and Siding, and Peterbilt Truck of Des Moines.
I continued my conversation with Kenny and Leanne Suter about their Suter family farm operation. Where do you get your pigs?
Our pigs that we're getting in the barns mostly come from family farm operations in Arkansas and Lower Missouri that custom feed for Cargill. And then Cargill will move those pigs up here to our barn, which we are custom feeding for Cargill up here. So they basically own the hogs, but they also have, that being said, they contract with families in Arkansas and Lower Missouri and partner with those folks and keep them employed to bring us hogs, and then we finish them and then they go to the market from there. So.
Okay, so they're Cargill hogs?
They're Cargill hogs.
They right, own. And so you're a, what kind of an operation then do you call this? Is this a finishing operation?
It's a wean to finish.
We run a wean to finish.
Is there other kinds of operations? Give us a little lesson in the kinds of operations.
Oh, there are several kinds of operations. If you want to start, there will be a family operation that might be farrow to finish.
That meaning?
That means they start with the mothers and then they raise the babies and then from the babies they go up to the finish unit.
Okay.
And there might be a niche market to where they're the same type of situation, a farrow to finish, but they're like specialty hogs. And those hogs might go to Asia. And you might have a farrow to finish operation that is in a co-op to where this group of people might own a bunch of sows, and this group of people will finish the sows or finish the pigs, but yet own some of the sows that are on another operation. And then you have an operation kind of like what we're running where we partner with Cargill and they basically rent our building that we own and then I do the labor or our family does the labor to take care of the hogs in that facility. So there could be several different, you could almost go on forever on how many different styles of operations that there is.
Yeah, okay. They'll raise seed stock. They'll raise gelts. They'll, you know.
Gelt. What's a gelt?
Gelt is a, let's say,
a female
pig. Okay. That's never had a litter of pigs. Mm-hmm.
But that's what she's bred for, is to have
to be a sow, babies. To become a sow, to raise babies.
But you don't do any of that?
No.
No.
All we do here is wean to finish. We get the babies in at approximately 15 days old, 15 pounds, and raise them up to 270 pounds to market.
And so have you thought about doing any of those other operations?
Maybe in the future, when we become more comfortable or more lucrative with what we're doing, but it's such a huge risk to own the sows all the way to the finished product, that you own the sows, the building, the feed, the potential disease that might happen, or anything else. You own it all, and you're responsible for it all. The rewards might be more, but the cost could be a lot more. So you really got to weigh on how liquid you think you are, on how much risk that you want to take. And there are other avenues to help cover your risk of people that will come in and partner with you. They'll absorb some of the risk, but yet they get some of the reward. And that's what we decided to do.
And you mentioned specialty hogs.
Mm-hmm.
What's a specialty hog? Something that, different kind of meat?
A different kind of meat. There's some hogs that can be raised that usually go to an Asian market because they really like that. They really like that meat. And there are other hogs, like Leanne said, that you might raise gilts to sell to different operations that want to buy your female sows to place in their operations, which would be a specialty type of hog.
Okay, so different cultural traditions on taste.
Yep.
Maybe special marketing. And
yep.
Yeah, we raise three different types of fat hogs. We raise a high quality, high marbling fat hog, or we'll raise a antibiotic free fat hog, or a commercial grade type of meat. So there's three varieties that we'll grow in our wean to finish barns of pork.
For different markets.
For different markets.
That are out there. Mm-hmm.
So people can get what they want.
People can have exactly what they want.
Okay, so very specialized.
Yeah.
And so some might wind up being the thicker cuts of good bacon.
Yeah.
Or some are the thinner cuts that are in some of our...
Which the commercial hog is more of a more muscular, leaner meat. The CVP pig is a more marbling and high fat. And then
CVP
we have our...
Cargo-valued
pork.
Okay.
And then our antibiotic-free pigs are just that. They're antibiotic-free. There's a market for that market.
And that's a growing market?
Yes.
Or?
That market is a growing market.
And so you will go where the market goes, it sounds like.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Yes.
There's no doubt.
So any trends, if something will pay for itself, you will go that way. What the American and, I guess, Asian consumer wants.
Asian is a huge market.
Yes.
Asian market is a huge market.
Okay. That is our number one market right now, mm-hmm. is our Asian market.
And not just for us, but I'm talking in pork producers in general.
Yeah.
So let me get this right. Most of your pork goes to Asia?
No.
No. It is just a big part of the market.
It's 80% of our pork that we raise stays right here in the United States. But there's 20% our exports are bigger and bigger every year. For the last 12 years, we've been breaking records on exports and pork.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's where a lot of the growth is.
That's where a lot of the growth is. Yeah, we've already got everybody here covered, you know. And if they want to grow more, then that's where your market's at. Okay. It's overseas, whether it's Asia or Europe or Russia or wherever. It's global.
So the better that economy does, the better our economy goes.
Yes. And also, you know as well as I do, the weaker our dollar is, the more they can buy overseas. And that's just the nature of the beast. That's the way it is. So that's why your exports will pick up when you have a weaker dollar.
So will a weaker dollar hurt or help you?
Helps in the short term, but just like everybody else, I live in the same country, in the same community as everybody else. In the long term, a weaker dollar is not going to be the greatest thing. So I'm not going to say it helps us, but it does support your exports.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture in Marion County is brought to you in part by McCall Monument, Two Rivers Cooperative, Hewitt Service Center, The Linden House, McElveen Lumber, and Steenhook Appraisals. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting KNIAKRLS.com and clicking Radio Plus. Just visit KNIAKRLS.com, click Radio Plus, and catch up on in-depth programs that you may have missed. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Williamson HVAC Plumbing and Electrical, Pella Precast Products, Jersey Freeze, H&S Feed and Country Store, 3M, Tri-County Vet Clinic, HCI Care Services, formerly Hospice of Central Iowa, and RJ Performance.
I continued my conversation with Kenny and Leanne Suter about their Suter family farm operation. Where do your hogs go from here? When the trucks leave, where do they go?
Ottumwa.
We have two outlets.
Or Beardstown. Mostly they go to Ottumwa. Beardstown, Illinois, will take something that, say, Ottumwa is just completely booked solid. They'll take some loads, but for the most part, it's all local. Right there, just, 60-some miles away.
And so how many hogs will go on a truck?
175.
So if a truck leaves here, what's the value of that truck for cargo? Can you give me an estimate?
Yeah. I could calculate it out. Something that I tell our FFA students when they come and tour is the pigs come in one or maybe two truckloads and they leave in 17.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The gross value would be about $22,000.
$22,000.
On today's market.
Okay, so then it goes to Ottumwa, and that is a butchering plant.
Mm-hmm.
Butchering? Is that what it's called?
Yep.
Butchering?
Yep.
Processing?
Yep, harvesting.
Harvesting, processing.
And then some of it goes to, it's probably hard for you to track this, some of it goes to Asia, but then do we know, are there particular markets
mm-hmm.
in the United States it goes to?
Yeah, she could help you on that.
Am I going to buy your product in Marion County?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Sysco would be a company. Yeah, they're a company that buys Cargill pork. Cargill pork is really big into their bacon. Their top-selling meat.
For Sysco Foods.
Is bacon.
Mm-hmm.
So the bacon I get at breakfast
is probably
in Cargill pork. Knoxville.
Yeah. Very well could be from local
here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, it is.
Or the bacon if I were going to Japan, could also be from here.
Most
could
definitely.
Be. Could be.
I would say.
Yeah, very,
yeah.
Very easily.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is fascinating. What do you think the future looks like for your industry? You've got to be thinking about it.
I'm extremely excited about the future of the pork industry, and not just for the profit end of it. I'm excited about it, about the product that we put out is a top-notch product that just is extremely competitive in price for the consumer. And I'm also excited about the amount of young people that we work with and that we meet when we go to meetings and talk to different pork producers. This just chuck full of young people that are extremely excited about getting into the pork industry right out of college. When we go to a room and there might be 30 or 40 people in this room and we're all talking pork production, you know, be it one meeting or another meeting, you can count on it being full of at least 50% of young, intelligent people that are just driven for this industry. That's the one thing that, and the local jobs around here that it promotes, whether it's we harvest our grain and take it to the local elevator, and then Cargill will hire this local elevator to grind and deliver the feed right back to this barn. And then the local truck drivers that haul the animals from this barn to Ottumwa, or the kids from at the school system here that we hire to come and help us in the barn, you know, periodically when we have sorting to do or some maintenance work to do. It's the job growth and the tax base just for the local communities I'm excited for, and it's a really good opportunity. I like it.
Think that you'll see the grandkids someday running the operation?
I hope so. That would be a nice
goal. That's the goal.
I did it with my boys. I put them in a backpack on my shoulder, and we farreled and raised decks and turned in, turn out sow units, and now they're with us, you know, working in the more modern facilities, which is so nice and so safe for both the pork and the people working in them.
Thanks to Kenny and Leanne Suter for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.